Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's Just Arrive collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Jenna, are you planning on hosting this summer?
Of course! We love having people over for get-togethers in the summer.
You know when people are arriving, it's getting a little crowded, and suddenly you're not sure if you have enough burgers or chips or paper towels?
Yes, it's the worst feeling, and it's actually my worst nightmare.
Happens to me every time. Well, no need to worry. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target.
Summer hosting will be so much easier with unlimited same-day delivery from Target.
Exactly. Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. We have something very special for you today. Wow.
We have one of, I think, the most memorable and important songs and performances Glee ever did, which was Cough Syrup. And we have Samira, the lead singer of Young the Giant, with us today.
Huge!
To talk about that entire thing. And I'm just so excited and so nervous. I've seen them live before.
I'm so jealous that you've seen them live. I used to listen to them on repeat.
Yeah, I mean, when we were starting, like, I mean, the first or second year I got to go to the VMAs, they performed.
Oh, wow.
This song before we used it. So it was, this is very, very cool. I'm going to try to play it cool.
Yeah.
But without further ado, here is Samir from Young the Giant.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
We have done over like 100 episodes. And my boyfriend here, if you can see him, Austin, has been not interested in sitting in on one of them.
Never.
And I knew, I was like, guess who we have today? a couple years ago, you were performing at the Ohana Fest in LA, outside of LA. Mm-hmm. And Diana Agron, who was on Glee, she was there. And she, I told her, I was like, Austin's favorite band is performing. And I told her it was you guys. And she's like, oh. Well, let me see if I can get you guys on stage. So then we stood on the side of the stage and watched you. And I was like, I am good for life, for gifts. I never have to do anything again. And so I had him. So he's here.
How did it sound on side stage?
The side stage was a little weird.
Yeah. You can't hear much.
Yeah. I was like, damn. But I was just, I have pictures of him like sitting like on the cases, just like watching you guys.
I remember that show.
He's a gigantic, gigantic fan. Come here, Austin. This is Austin.
Hi, Austin.
Hey, Austin.
Here, embarrass yourself.
Please, embarrass yourself, Austin.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you doing? Massive, massive fan. I'm trying to play it cool, but I'm literally just trying not to pass out because I seriously love you guys. I love you so much.
I appreciate that, really.
Yeah, I don't geek out like this often, but for real.
No.
for real.
Thank you. Mind over matter. I rarely really see Austin smile, so you know.
Beautiful.
Mind over matter is like one of my favorite albums of all time. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Seriously. We're gonna do actually a 10-year. We haven't really released it yet, but we're gonna do a 10-year anniversary of the second record, and maybe do a secret show in LA somewhere. So if you're around, you guys should get some tickets, and we'll figure something out.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I saw you at Amoeba a while ago. This was years ago. But,
yeah, I think we're going to do a front to back of the whole second record. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks.
nice meeting you, Austin.
Now get out of here.
Hi, Austin.
Thanks for that.
No, of course.
So sweet.
Never. So sweet. Never. He doesn't care about anyone.
No. She really barely cares about Kevin. So.
But yeah.
This is great.
Well, it's so great to have you. Yes, it's so nice to have you here. We're so excited to talk to you about cough syrup and about your life and your artistry, because you are really, you have a voice of a generation. It's really, really
beautiful. Voice of an angel.
Oh, I know, truly.
Are you kidding me? It's infuriating. I'm glad I didn't have to cover one of your songs. It's like, Darren, know, like, good God luck.
Yeah, Darren and I still text every now and then, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I ran into him every now and then.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Cross.
He's cross one of those people, paths. Too. He mm-hmm. just, he pops up in all the random places. Yeah. He knows everyone.
Yes.
So true. Okay, so tell me about, do you remember when you got the request to cover cough syrup on the show?
Yeah, I do. It was very early on in our career, you know, obviously, cough syrup was on the first record, and I think I was about maybe 20 at the time, maybe 21. Wow. Things were moving really fast, you know. I think it took many years for me to process all the things that happened really in such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But that was a huge moment. I remember at first, you know, we were aware of the show. I hadn't actually seen much of it. But when we were given the treatment and how the song would be placed, we felt it was a really important message and something that we stood behind as a band. So we were excited to do that. And that was a time for the music industry in general, but us, you know, being so young and very like kind of heady time for indie rock music. And there were a lot of things that we're not cool with doing. And, but that was something that we were all unanimously like, you know, this is absolutely something we want to do.
How special. I mean, especially because like, I think there were around that time, a couple rock bands that were not, and indie bands that were not allowing us to do their music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was like just extra special and great of you guys to, you know, give the thought to in consideration to how the song's actually being used, and especially in that crazy time in your guys' life, to let us do the song, because it ended up being such a monumental moment in the history of the show.
Yeah, and absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that time has changed, and I think for better, really. It was a kind of a snobby time, and I'm just happy now that people enjoy things that make them feel good and cathartic and honest and so it was something that, you know, I'm happy we are. In some ways, I miss those old days of just the way things were. But I'm also very happy for where we're at right now.
What did you think of the cover when you heard it, when you guys heard it for the first time or saw it with the show?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Darren really did justice to the song. Even the track itself, the musicianship was, they tried to pay as much respect to the way we'd done it. And I actually rewatched it today, a little earlier. And there are even some like little things that he did that were almost to a T, you know, the recording. And it was cool to see him pay that much attention to those little differences, you know.
No, for sure.
That's what we had the executive music producer on here a couple weeks ago. We were asking, because some of the tracks sound so similar to the original versions, like, are you getting the stems? Like, how is this happening? Like, no, most of the time we didn't, and we just had to like do it by ear.
Yeah.
And also, you know, but the vocal production was the same thing. And it was, I find that
amazing,
mind-boggling.
No, it truly is.
I mean, I don't know how.
The only way I could tell, really, I mean, some of the guitar tones were spot on. Some of the drum fills just a little bit different, and you know, so you know, I know Francois. I know exactly how he drums and the fills that he does. I'm like, that's not a Francois fill,
right?
You had mentioned earlier, and I'm just curious, you had mentioned like that Glee was one of the things that unanimously the band was like, cool, we'll do that. You had mentioned some things that you wouldn't do back in that time. Do you mind elaborating on what that means?
Yeah. I think it was just that moment where artists were really starting to have their music placed in commercials, in television, and movies. And even shortly before this, hardly anyone was doing it. And I think that has a lot to do with the way the economics of everything were, and, you know, syncing, publishing weren't as necessary forms. And also television from its previous era was so different, I think, that a lot of musicians, the old legacy acts especially, refused. There was like zero tolerance for any any placements on anything, you know, especially commercials. I mean, that was, you know, that was that first moment, you know, Black Keys and Phoenix, like their songs around beer commercials, car commercials and things like that. And that even, you know, a year or two prior to that, that was unheard of. And so, it also just opened up a new way of economics because of just the way the music industry was shifting at that time. And now, you know, it's like, you're not cool if you don't get those placements, you know, so it's a completely different world.
It's crazy how quickly that's changed too. I feel like this was like the end of that era and the ushering in the start of the new era of people being like, sure, why not? Streaming was also relatively new-ish.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a distrust for certain things. But at the same time, I think it was guided from a place of fear and from a place of what indie rock was supposed to be. And I think that was very alpha male, you know, hetero and white culture. And even now, I was so young at the time, I didn't fully like consciously think of it that way. But now looking back, you know, it really was, there was this rule of, you know, how to be in the boys club. And we never quite fit into that. And I think in the beginning of our career that, you know, maybe annoyed us a little bit, but, I think it's become our strength and I think it's the reason why we're still around and songs like Mind Over Matter have found their audience now to a younger generation of people who don't really care about that as much and more care about, you know, honest emotion and communicating feelings.
Yeah. I imagine too, nowadays it's like, if you find the song, you find the song. It doesn't matter how it's getting to you. And so I think from an artist's perspective as well, it's like, yes, you're worrying about the sync and the license and are you selling out, quote unquote. But it's also another way, like Glee was, to expose people who might not have heard this music before.
Yeah.
And just because they haven't doesn't mean they're not going to relate to it.
No, absolutely.
Find an interest in it and hear themselves in it.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, when Glee played the song, I mean, that was a huge moment for the song, right? And I think it's done a lot for the legacy of Cough Syrup. And we're obviously thankful for that.
It was also like, we normally did classic rock songs or huge pop hits. And I remember when we get the script and like the second page of the script is all the songs we're doing, seeing it and being like, oh, we could do a cool song.
Thrilled.
Didn't
truly thrilled.
Yeah. Like it felt like we got let into the cool club. We're like, yes, they see us. We get to do it. And it felt like a really important moment, I think, for us to obviously, we weren't even singing the song, but like, oh, we get to be associated with it because we're on the show. And like, claim, well, guess who let us do their song now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was so monumental for us, even.
I appreciate that. I mean, I don't think at the time, you know, I don't think we thought the song was cool per se. We've, you know, you talk to most artists and they have these complexes about their most successful songs. Tends to be that you don't like them, you know?
Yeah.
I think over time, maturing, growing, we've learned to appreciate those moments because, you know, they're, I remember when we were working with Joe Ciccarelli, our first producer, he had just worked with Jack White a lot. They were doing a lot of things together. And Jack White, even John Mayer recently has been talking about this kind of anti music writing type of thing where you just need to trust strong emotions, you know? So if you hate something that you create, it's almost the same feeling as if you love it because it's sharing a part of yourself maybe that you're afraid to share with other people. And I think the thing you should be afraid of is, you know, not feeling that much about anything, what you're creating. Mm-hmm. And I think that time there was something about that song that was revealing a part of ourselves that maybe we weren't ready to reveal to the world. But we've most definitely learned to appreciate it. And, you know, nowadays, you know, people are singing along to the song, like every word. And it's amazing to see that.
Jenna, the weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Yes, it is, and I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. And luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. We love that.
I just got the silk skirt, and then I also got the 100% organic cotton striped sweater. It's great quality for that price. I literally shop here all the time now because it is just undeniable.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/really for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/really to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/really. Kevin, every time I go on vacation with my family, I find myself packing multiple extra bags of essential supplies. Now that's all in the past. Thank you to Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. So I'm packing very light now, thank goodness. And all of my stuff will be waiting for me at my destination. It's my dream.
The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target while you're on vacation.
So sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, pool stuff, and everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans.
And if you're planning to host this summer, same-day delivery is a party saver. You've got people coming over, it's getting a little crowded, you're not sure if there's enough burgers, chips, paper towels, etc., etc. Don't freak out. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target, so sign up today.
Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Summer hosting is so much easier when you have unlimited same-day delivery from Target. So sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online. What was the inception of cough syrup?
So when we were the Jakes, there was we were called the Jakes shortly before Young the Giant. And it was this lineup. But the Jakes had existed as kind of a high school band. And we were trying to start a new lineup and a new approach. So there's our young new guitarist, Eric Cannata, came in. And he had the guitar lick. And he had the verse, first line. And it was that moment where we're like, okay, I think you're going to be a great part of this band. and he brought that song in. And at that time, we were still just jamming in the living room or a garage. And we were still in the process of figuring out what our sound was. But the song came together in one rehearsal. The wow. first lyric then moved itself to, you know, the full lyrics of the verse. And then the chorus, came out of nowhere. And I think the lyrics, you know, you always try and add meaning to things later on. That's what I find with a lot of the great or successful things. You know, it comes from a place of you're not really thinking too much about it. It's something that sounds nice. And then mm-hmm. you're surprised by how much it actually means, how much it means to you, the things that you're mm-hmm. saying that just kind of mm-hmm. come out of your mouth. And at that time, especially, I considered my vocals more of an instrument as opposed to just like me telling a story per se. Mm-hmm. So the lyrics were kind of just a vehicle to share that instrument. Mm. And for us, you know, the song, even at that moment, I don't think we consciously thought of what it meant to us. And then when press started to ask us about it, when it became successful,
what is our answer going
to
be?
Yeah, the story started to form. And then I started really actually analyzing the lyrics that I was just blurting out. And,
right.
you know, obviously it's an escape from suburbia. It's a desire to be your true self and be free. Mm-hmm. And within the context of the band, it was just, you know, we were young kids kind of from all over the world who found ourselves in this kind of suburban sandpit, and we wanted to get out and, you know, escape and achieve our dreams and find adventure. And you know, as ironically, it was that song that was that ticket for us to do that. Yeah,
it's beautiful. There's a lot of when you're speaking about the band and your guys's craft, like, it feels like there's a lot of parallels between what we went through and you guys went through. Similarly, like feeling like an underdog, you know, and using that as your strengths. And then you had mentioned earlier, like, talking about how fast the train was that you kind of took off on. Mm-hmm. And the success of it all. Yeah. I'm curious what your reflections are about that, because it feels like there are so many similarities for us as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I can totally imagine that for you all as well. I mean, Glee, you know, just really exploded. For me, you know, it seems like overnight. Everything seems like overnight when you're not a part of the right. long process of creating it.
Right.
And then there is this motivation to prove yourself. There's a, you know, chip on your shoulder to prove what this is, what it means to you and what it can mean to the world. And when you're young, I think there needs to be a healthy dose of that. But then at a certain point, it can become self-destructive. And I'm trying to almost retrain myself even now to not function from just purely a place of like this desire to prove myself, you know, because mm-hmm. I still feel that way. And I feel mm-hmm. like many artists do feel that way. And that's important to a certain extent. But then if you don't temper that with some other positive emotions, then you're just kind of bitter and jaded, cynical about everything. and I think, you know, just looking back on that time, it was, I guess I don't want to say lucky, right? I want to say we were very fortunate to be a part of something. Mm-hmm. But what I do remember, and I'm just even now working on our sixth record, the things that I take away was, and this kind of sounds like a little out there. I mean, I'm from Los Angeles, not that crazy. But I mean, I truly believe in And when you realize something, when you truly believe something can happen without any doubts in your mind, those things tend to work out because you're aligning all of your intention towards that goal. Mm-hmm. And the first record, I mean, no one believed in us except for ourselves. We believed in ourselves ultimately, like to the, we just knew that it was going to happen, even though now, you know, with more experience, you realize how close we were to actually failing, like several times over the course of that first record. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be that there are people like, no, you know what? Let's not cut it off. Let's wait one more week. And then that week, something happens, you know? Mm-hmm. But for us, it was just like, no, this is going to go. This is going to happen. I don't care what anyone thinks. And as you become older and become more experienced, to be truly, truly confident in yourself is a very difficult thing, especially when you're humble or when you feel like you're not trying to be some asshole, pardon my French, but, you know, just be a human being and be inspired by just being a normal person. It's very easy to say, well, you know, look at things relatively. But in some ways, I think that that was a beautiful time for us. And I think that's why things also happened so quickly, despite all the, just the landscape of everything that was happening at the time.
I think that's a really important point to talk about, because when you're starting out and if you're in a band or you're by yourself in some form of, let's say, entertainment, there's like a fine line between you being or feeling like, oh, I'm overly confident. There's no plan B. Like, this is just going to work because it has to. And then also, I was always really fearful of like, am I delusional? Like, what is this? I feel like there's such a fine line between the delusion and it's like, well, no, I just, this is all I can do, all I want to do.
Yeah.
And like what you said, if it's the only thing you're thinking of, everything you're doing consciously and subconsciously is just working towards that. Mm-hmm. Because absolutely, that's all you care about. It's all you think about. And I do think, especially when you have something like unique, like you guys have, or if you're bringing it to Glee, like we were also different from one another, where when you get older and you do have that success and you look back, you're like, oh yes, it is frighteningly close to how close we were for this not to happen.
Absolutely.
And when you get older and you have things to worry about, if you get married or you have kids or you have a house or whatever it may be, like, oh, now I have these responsibilities. And back then I was just with reckless abandon being like, this is, it's going to work. I'm going to make this happen. Somehow.
No, absolutely. I'm at that moment, you know, I have two young boys and married and bills to pay. And but I never want my creative process to be guided by that. And you have to be willing to stare it down and be like, you know what? Well, if this explodes, then you have to be okay with that. I think at the same time, like maybe there's no plan B, but, you know, that first record, I had no expectations. None of us did. We knew something would happen, but we didn't like, we were like, well, this better happen because if it doesn't, then, you know, like there were no ifs. Mm-hmm. We were just doing it because that's what our imperative was to do. And because we were just having a great time doing it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, getting into the studio and writing, I think it's sometimes almost more challenging to be like, you know what? I'm just going to write a horrible song today. And that's fine. And I want to feel satisfied that I wrote a bad song and that's okay. As opposed to, you know, oh man, like this isn't up to the standards of the songs that I've written before. It needs to be better, you know, because if you function from that place of fear, then it just doesn't work.
Sometimes you just got to work through the bad songs to get to the good ones.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Everyone writes bad songs. Everyone.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can sniff out the fear though. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm amazed you went to Stanford for biology.
To be fair, it was human biology, which was kind of like code switch for parents who wanted their kids to be on some track. It was human biology, which was secretly a Bachelor of the Arts. And there was some hard science there to a certain extent, but there was a lot of, you know, philosophy and sociology, anthropology, psychology.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like, it was kind of like this whole thing. And I left so early that I didn't even really officially declare my major. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed my time there. But Young the Giant was already happening. The Jakes were already happening. Mm-hmm. And I figured it was time to leave. So I left, you know, halfway through. Was there for like not even 2 years. So I can't say that, you know, I am a college dropout effectively now.
Fantastic. Same. We love that. Yeah.
Jenna, yeah. At least you finished. I did the same thing. I went for like a year and like then Glee happened.
Yeah.
May we all be so lucky.
Yeah, it was an accident. Happy accident. See, I say it's an accident, but not really. We were all working towards that.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance. A free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent, dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com. Kevin, every time I go on vacation with my family, I find myself packing multiple extra bags of essential supplies. Now that's all in the past. Thank you to Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. So I'm packing very light now, thank goodness. And all of my stuff will be waiting for me at my destination. It's my dream.
The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target while you're on vacation.
So sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, pool stuff, and everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans.
And if you're planning to host this summer, same-day delivery is a party saver. You've got people coming over, it's getting a little crowded, you're not sure if there's enough burgers, chips, paper towels, etc., etc. Don't freak out. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target, so sign up today.
Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Summer hosting is so much easier when you have unlimited same-day delivery from Target. So sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
You mentioned that, I guess at the time it was the Jakes, that you were doing music in college and high school. Do you come from a musical family? Were you always just, music was somehow a part of your life?
Yeah. Neither of my parents were professional musicians. Both very passionate about music, particularly my dad. I think maybe had he come here at a different generation, he maybe would have been more willing to try. I think it just the opportunities for an immigrant in the space of music that he was interested in, there was no one. You know, Freddie Mercury was like the only person. And even then, that was like kind of a almost, actually not fully a generation prior, but still it was, and it wasn't around in America as deeply as was rooted like the American tradition of music. And so he kind of did the thing that was safe and made sense for him. His mother was a semi-professional singer, a Bollywood singer. And she kind of got scouted when she was really young. And then she had the pressure to start a family and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So in a way, my career has been, you know, making like two generations in the process. So I'm very, you know, grateful for them. And because it's such a strange thing, because you can be very classically trained, which I am not at all. You know, you can have an ear and an instinct. And it's one of the only things in my life that I just follow that instinct. And I'm probably better trained at many other things, truly, like classically, than I am with music. And it's a fine balance of wanting to learn new things and explore new chordal structures and modes without like completely just destroying this kind of childlike wonder that I have going about what I do. And I think popular music, that's why there are so many people who try, who come at it as amateurs and hobbyists. And I kind of see myself as that, just excited by when you combine two things together, what happens, you know?
Was there a certain point, because you talked about how, at least in cough syrup, you were using your voice sort of as another instrument. And I think you tend to, in all your music, your voice does very much feel like another part. It doesn't feel separate. It feels very much another part of the track. Was there a point when you realized that? Because most people cannot do that, or don't have the instinct or desire to even, I think, add to a record in that way. Like, was there a point for you when you're like, oh, my voice can do these things. And so the way it blends with these things is interesting and unique. And this is how I want this to sound.
Yeah. I mean, I just grew up singing, you know, a lot of parties, like Indian parties. And it's just a thing. Parents be like, hey, my kid can dance. My kid can sing. And so they'd be like, yeah, Samira, dance and sing for everyone. Yeah. And it was just something that you would do. And I just kind of assumed that a lot of people could sing. And I still believe that many people can. Almost everyone can, truly. But I came into music first with, you know, I guess, really young piano and violin, upright bass. And then I picked up the guitar when I was 11 or 12. And my first couple of bands, I was the lead guitarist of the band. And I didn't want to be the singer because I never liked the singer in the bands. I thought they were conceited, and I always liked the guitar. And it was really just an accident. You know, I'd heard of a band called the Jakes who were looking for an extra band member. I didn't know what the part was they wanted. So I came with my guitar. And they were like, well, we already have two guitarists, but we've heard through someone else that apparently you can like keep a tune. So can you sing? And I said, okay. You know, at first I was like, I really don't want to be the singer, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, you know, I did it. And then it just kind of clicked, and it felt like, wow, this was the thing that I was meant to do. And it's pretty amazing that in many ways, like Young the Giant is my first musical project. You know, from 2004, essentially almost 20 years now, from when I was in high school. And it was music, like singing was just a thing that, you know, I've worked upon and I think honed in on over the years, and in college and high school doing some chorus stuff. And at Stanford, I was a part of a South African gospel choir with a lot of amazing voices from all over the world. And singing music that I wasn't really accustomed to singing. And that taught me a lot. But the voice is that one thing that you're just kind of born with. And it's interesting to make my career off of something like that, where it's, but I'm very, very blessed and grateful for that too.
I love sort of the reluctant lead singer take. It's like you, I don't like how they do it, but now you're in the position. You're like, well, I can make a new mold of how this can go.
I still don't like lead singers. It's very hard.
That's funny. How do you guys feel like you have evolved as a band over the year, 20 years?
We've evolved a lot. I mean, we, as human beings, we've evolved. We've managed to keep it together, be humble, care about the important things in life, stay grounded, and compromise with one another and not kill each other. those are huge things.
Success.
And I think we've managed to always kind of march to the beat of our own drum. And there's always a pressure to try and, it's not too late to turn around and follow what everyone else is doing. But, you know, I'm proud of us that we've taken this path that's a long, slow build that gets us to the places that we're at now, you know, 10, 12 years later, being able to play at the Forum here and do things like that, where we have fans who really care about the music that we're making in a deep and impactful way. And we've learned a lot as touring musicians and as recording artists, but every time we get in the studio, we try to, you know, try to unlearn some of the things too, because you only really know what worked and what didn't work until you've released something to a certain extent. It's not even really how people receive it. It's more like how you feel about it now that it's a finished body of work, you know? And so we're constantly trying to change the process and see what works for us.
I imagine too, it must be really special for you. You've all known each other for so long to see each other through all these different stages of life. You know, the guys in the garage to now touring across the world and doing these things. I mean, we've always felt that connection of when you go through something so singular, to be able to have other people that you can share that very, very specific experience with is such a gift that you don't necessarily realize when you're younger, but later on it's like, oh, thank God we had each other.
No, absolutely.
And have each other to, you know, look back on and call back, like, we all went through these crazy things together. And it's, I feel like it's in a band, it must be like that tenfold.
Absolutely. You know, we're not best friends, you know, we're brothers in so many ways. And sometimes we can't stand one another. And sometimes we need a day or two, but we always end up hanging out even on times where, you know, we're not on the clock. And, it is amazing to have those shared stories over the years and the experience that not many people can relate to, you know.
Tell us about your sixth album.
I mean, it's very, very, very early on in the process. You know, we just released a live record, our first live record we ever released. You know, it's been five albums, and it was recorded over the course of this tour this last summer, and includes music from all five of the records, including most recent American Bollywood, which is a record that I'm and will continue to always be extremely proud of, and one of my career highlights of being able to do something truly artistic that I really wanted to do for a long time. It took me many years to make. And so I think we're just kind of all, it feels like we all had a baby with this album and with this tour, so many shows. I mean, 50 shows, I think, in about 65 or 70 days.
Oof.
A lot of shows.
That's wild.
And then Europe right after that. And obviously life changes and having kids. And I think we're now in this beginning process where we're really at the square one again. You know, you are mm-hmm. always staring up the face of this huge mountain that you have to scale again. Mm-hmm. You have to get yourself prepared. And it's like that groundwork and that research in the beginning that can be very difficult and hard sometimes, especially for people who love you. And some days I'm just in the studio and I'm just like the grouchiest person afterwards, because I'm just, mm-hmm. it's like such mm-hmm. a process to get all your emotions out that some of it can feel very uncomfortable. But it's a necessary process, and you're just kind of waiting for that inspiration to truly hit, where you finally have reached a theme. And that's kind mm-hmm. of where we're at right now. You know, we still cool. have a few more shows left for the year, but that's where we're at. And then we have I was telling Austin, we have the 10-year anniversary of Mind Over Matter.
Wow, congrats.
And so we're going to do some secret shows around LA and do like one, because we didn't do this for the first record, live show front to back of the first record, and the next day front to back of the second. So that'll be amazing. A really fun process.
Wow. That's cool. Exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to cough syrup, because it was such a massive hit with the fans, and for sharing your music with us. I just really admire your intentionality and your mindfulness and your craft and in your own life. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
No, thank you. And, you know, thank you for being able to talk about this years later. And I'm also grateful to Darren. I've had so many comments. I've read comments where I'm like, Darren's version's better. And I don't, you know, he's a great singer. So, you know, that's no shade there. I don't know.
They're wrong. Don't listen to them.
Well, I appreciate it all the same.
Thank you so much
for spending so much time with us. And also, this is our voices changed talking to you. We don't normally, I'm like, I'm talking down here. I feel very calm.
Radio voice.
Yeah, this is great.
I'm sorry for that. We should hang out too, because I'm all sorts of different people throughout the day.
This is great. Podcast. Greatly appreciated. Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah. Can relate to that.
Thank you so much, Samir. Thank really you so appreciate much. It.
And hopefully see you at one of your secret shows soon.
Yes.
Would love to see you.
You too.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. I'm overwhelmed.
Well,
the singing voice of an angel, the speaking voice of an angel.
The mind of an angel, the heart of an angel. Seems like somebody I'd like to be around.
So we should hang out. One, yes. We'll take him up on that. Might regret it later. Two is, I didn't realize he was so young when Cough Syrup came out.
Right?
And we were not far off in age.
Well, exactly. So, you know, when he was saying that, and I was like, oh, wow. They were coming up at the same time. They were young mm-hmm. in their formative years, you know, experiencing all of this. It felt like a lot of that resonated with us. And
there's also like, and we didn't talk about this, but, you know, we were a part of Glee, it was part of a network. You have protection, mm-hmm. right? We're like part of the system. Everything is in place. Shows get made every day.
Right.
We know how this is going to go, even if it gets really successful. Mm-hmm. When you're in a band like that, you guys invented this thing out of nowhere with just their friends and from school in the garage.
Right.
And then all of a sudden something takes off and you don't have that infrastructure. Because you don't have that lived experience of having done it before.
Well, it's like basically being your own showrunners.
Yeah, and you're in this like rocket ship. You're like, how do I figure this out as we go?
Well.
And so I think this is so impressive, and they're still around and doing so well and making like incredible music.
Totally. Very excited for.
And I think it takes that type of, you know, I think you, when you get to that certain point, to be able to think that deeply about where you've been, where you want to go, where you currently are. Mm-hmm. It's such a, you have to learn that. And it's, I think that's what makes it so sustainable and doing that in a healthy way. So it's so nice to hear that.
It was really nice to chat with him. Really nice to hear from the artists and, you know, behind the music. We don't get to do that a lot.
Every time we've talked to one of these artists, doesn't it make so much sense that they make the music they make? I know that sounds so dumb.
No, it's so true. It is a reflection of them, you know, it is a reflection of their soul, and it's really inspiring. It's really inspiring. And, it makes a lot of sense. I'm not surprised that he knows Darren. I'm not surprised that he, you know, that voice makes that kind of music. So,
and both versions of Cough Syrup are great.
I mean, amazing.
For the record. Yes.
Well, we're so grateful to Samir for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. Go listen to Young Giant. They just put out that live album. And thanks for listening.
And that's what you really missed.
Thanks for listening. And follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time. Jenna, are you planning on hosting this summer?
Of course. We love having people over for get-togethers in the summer.
You know when people are arriving, it's getting a little crowded, and suddenly you're not sure if you have enough burgers or chips or paper towels?
Yes, it's the worst feeling, and it's actually my worst nightmare.
Happens to me every time. Well, no need to worry. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target.
Summer hosting will be so much easier with unlimited same-day delivery from Target.
Exactly. Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.